What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Well, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Welcome to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and my good buddy, Jono, right next to you. What do you say, Jono?
That's a hell of an intro, man.
You like that?
It's our new intro.
Did you like that? Hey, did that bring back some memories?
I liked it.
What'd you catch there?
I caught a little bit of slap shot. I caught...
You caught Bull Durham.
Bull Durham. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
You got your hockey... Well, with our Blues taking it on the chin last night, you got your hockey going there.
Yeah.
We had some natural in there where he says, I think you're a loser. You heard that, right?
I swear to God, I thought I heard that little GM for a slap shot.
You hear him and everything, right?
Yeah, no
that's
kidding.
What you want to hear. But hey, we had some Sandlot in there, right? And we had the net. We had Jimmy Dugan from A League of Their Own, right? There's no crying in baseball, right?
No, of course,
we heard from the wonderful and always fantastic Walter Matthau. May he rest in peace. And the wonderful Bad News
Walter
Bears.
Matthau.
What's your favorite baseball movie?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. And I think the one that I could just keep watching over and over is Field of Dreams.
Really?
I could watch that. I could watch that on a marathon. I would really enjoy it still. And it's all about just getting away. And I picture myself out in that house, just going to the backyard, and out pops like 7, 8, 10 of these ball players from the past.
Yeah, see, that was a different kind of a baseball movie for me. For me, that was like, it was about the game and what it means to people. But then obviously, I don't know about you, I can't get through at the end when he says, Dad, you want to have a catch? I mean, right now I got goosebumps thinking about it.
That was beautiful.
I can't handle it. But I don't know. You know what? People ask me this question all the time, and I can't. I mean, Bull Durham is such a great movie. And it gives you a little bit of insight.
I thought Natural was damn good too.
Well, Natural was a great movie. Obviously, it's you know obviously fiction, but the whole storyline and let's face it, even though it's fiction, and this is what's great about baseball.
Well, what about Kirk Gibson? I mean,
sure.
don't you remember that scene?
And hang on, that's my point. Even though the Natural's fiction, there's been stories like that, right?
So yeah,
that's why I think we can relate. But you know what? I'm hard pressed to get away from the original Bad News Bears with Walter Matthau. And part of that's probably because we were kids the first time we saw it.
Yeah.
We got this little crazy kid that's actually saying cuss words and nobody's yelling at him. We got this crazy coach driving around drinking beer.
They're politically incorrect.
Oh, my God. You couldn't
that
make
movie
a movie
is
like that.
Now.
And it's a classic. You couldn't make it. How about when they come out of the dugout and they all got a beer? I mean, if you did that today, you'd be in jail, right?
Child abuse.
But I'll tell you what. I've never been able to answer that question when somebody asks me what my favorite movie is. I can't answer it. I feel like it's almost like your children. I can't pick one.
Yeah. Well, you could always pick one child.
I'm not picking a child. Are you going to do that?
I already have. My 6-year-old. I dig the hell out of her. Well, because she likes everything I like, you know.
15-year-old here in
the 16-year-old now is like, Dad, I'm too cool for that.
I'm too cool.
Ball games or anything like that.
Well, you're going to show her and not pick her as your favorite.
Yes.
Well, hey, look.
6-year-old has taken over.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to think harder about this. And you know, one of the things that I think would be great is let us tell you a little bit about ourselves first off. And then I'm going to ask you to do something for me based on how we started today's show. First off, we are the Bleacher Bums, and you can find our website, bleacherbumspodcast.com. You can learn a little bit about us, who we are, listen to some of the past episodes if you're inclined. And, of course, if you're already following the show, we definitely appreciate it. Best way to do that, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, all those types of carriers there. All you got to do is subscribe. It's the easiest way to stay in tune with what we're doing here with the show.
Android?
Yeah, of course. Now, that's through Stitcher. Now, of course, you know, we are on Facebook. You just search for the Bleacher Bums. You'll find us there. We do a ton of stuff, and we do appreciate all the love we're getting on Twitter. We are at Bums podcast. We do a lot of stuff there. But the new thing, though, and this is what I'm going to ask you to do. We started getting some emails, and I've been using my my other show's email as we were getting our show kind of up and running. But we have an email now. We're official. We're like Nathan dun, dun, R. Johnson. Dun, dun. Right? info@bleacherbumspodcast.com. We'd love to hear from you. And I do want to
recognize. Again?
info@bleacherbumspodcast.com.
Okay, so there's right. An info there.
Yeah, info. So obviously we can carry on anytime. And we do want to thank Billy Clark last week for reaching out to us. Billy's a big fan of the show, and he was very interested in some of the fantasy stuff we've been talking about. We've been getting a lot of people asking about it. But his question went a little bit deeper than just the stats that our resident expert Coop's been giving us. He was very intrigued by the league and all the stuff that we were talking about. So our good friend Coop was able to hook him up with some of our rules, and we do appreciate Billy for contacting us. But now you can get directly to us, info@bleacherbumspodcast.com. That makes us official, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's official. Beautiful.
Yeah, so.
That is beautiful, and it's a good show, man.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it.
I mean,
it.
We cover it from safety of the fans to fantasy to what we think of the league, and the league right now, I'm telling you right now, Boston's taking over.
Yeah, look at the change there. David Ortiz, we touched on this a couple weeks
ago. How can this guy be retiring?
I don't know.
Oh, he is. Happen? He is. I don't know how he rides off in the sunset still hitting 40 dingers. Yeah, I'd be holding on to this big guy and saying, hey, you're not declining, my friend.
Yeah. And Toronto still struggling right about .500, haven't hit their stride yet.
Here's a team that I find very interesting, and that's the Chicago White Sox.
Well, we've been talking about them from the beginning.
I'm high on them now. That's my new team. Yeah. Look at these damn Cubbies, they're still doing it.
I can't take it. They're driving me crazy.
They won't lose.
Hey, the Royals have gotten out of the cellar.
Detroit underperforming.
Hey, here's my team I picked in the West. Seattle Mariners leading 17-11. What do you think of that? 17-11. Houston Astros mired at 10-19. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's something to look at here.
Well, and then you go over to the National League, and today we got the heavyweights going at it here on our studio televisions. We got Washington and the Cubs, and these are two first-place teams.
Look
at the Cubs giving it to them.
Let me say this. They had the Central rivals against one another, Chicago and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
And Chicago just slapped them around like little girls.
These teams, these second-place teams here, 7 games back already.
No, they're going to run off with it.
I mean,
I don't care what people say. You can be a critic of the Cubs all you want, but this team is for real, and they do not like to lose, my friends, because Pittsburgh just got manhandled in Pittsburgh.
And head out west, and everybody's hitting. I mean, we are just beating each other up out there except for when Kershaw pitches. We got the Colorado Rockies and the San Francisco Giants, the L.A. Dodgers, all tied for first at .500. Talk about mediocrity.
San Fran, Colorado, and the Dodgers all – yeah, that's like the Hockey Norris division.
It's unbelievable.
Well, yeah, that's a fair ball.
Well, one of the teams that I think we both would agree that is to this point underachieved has been the Los Angeles Angels. Now, I got something for you from the Angels. I saw something today that really got me thinking, and I wanted to get your take on it. There was an interesting article today basically saying that with, their ace now has got to have surgery, so he's out for the year. Did you see that? You did see that, right? Okay. So he is out for the year, all right? A local writer there had brought up what he seems to be is the answer to all their problems. They have a weak farm system. Now their ace is out, Garrett Richards. He says it is time to trade Mike Trout.
Really?
So I ask you this question. It got me thinking. What could you really get for Mike Trout?
Who would you get for Mike Trout?
Well, that's the question. What do you – how a guy that – I mean, let's face it, he is – I mean, you could say him or Harper. It's really irrelevant, right? They're both so good. What do you get for a guy like that?
Yeah.
I mean, can you – okay, start. I mean, think of a team and what they would give. I mean, if you're the GM,
what do you need, though?
Okay,
what do you need as the Angels right now?
God, you need everything. So if you're the GM for the Angels, what do you ask for? Who do you call first?
That's a great question. I can't call a team that's in first place battling because they're not going to give up – their ace. I want a pitcher. I want a pitcher if I'm in L.A.
Okay, who do you want? Who is Mike Trout worthy?
Well, definitely worthy of like a Kershaw, that's for sure.
So you're going to call the Dodgers and say, hey.
And you're not in my division.
Okay.
And he's not going to want to leave. He's still in L.A. So you it's ideal format for him.
Okay, so do you really think, A, that the Angels would just take Kershaw and that's it? And do you really think the Dodgers would trade Kershaw for Trout?
Well, it wouldn't hurt the media. Public media would still love Trout going the one. I mean, it's not going to hurt either or.
Yeah, but let's talk about it from a performance standpoint. Who wins that trade?
I think it's an even trade, man.
You think Kershaw?
Kershaw and I'm talking a Trout and Puig out there.
So you're going to trade Kershaw for Trout, and you think that's a fair trade?
Oh, I think that's right there. That's epitome of the batter and top notch pitcher. Both, and they're not leaving town. They're still going to be happy where they're at, and they're both spotlight type of players. They're going to be happy, and you're not hurting anyone in that division.
Okay. So how does this help the Angels getting Kershaw? Because he's a stud pitcher.
Yeah, because you know what, your batting's been horrible. All right,
it's going to get worse now.
No, hold up, though. Your batting's horrible, so why not take a little bit off the batting and rely more on defense now? You're not winning those 6-2 games anymore. So now, let's bring it back down to earth. Let's make it 3-2 type of games. Maybe I got a better shot than winning.
Okay, so that's one every 5 days if you trade him for Kershaw. I mean, Kershaw's a fine player.
Here's the thing, too. If you get a Kershaw now you're taking less pressure off your bullpen. They don't have to pitch every day. It's a domino effect.
Okay, the only reason that I could see them doing that is because they've shown that they'll spend money, so the next time a free agent goes around, maybe they'll go out and sign another offensive-type player to go along with having Kershaw. But I got to be honest with you. I don't know that I trade Trout just for Kershaw. I think there's other trades out there to be had.
Well, you're saying Kershaw in a package for Trout?
Yeah.
No way. And when Coop gets in here, I can't wait to tell him that.
I mean, I've got
– There's no way.
I mean – If you're a market that's looking for a splash, I mean, what do you give? I mean, is it you know, what about the Cardinals? The Cardinals are in desperate need of an identity.
Who's the Cardinals?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm talking more about the fact that some of these teams need an identity, right? LA Dodgers don't need an identity. They have one. They've got all these larger than life guys out there anyway, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well,
I mean, is it the Yankees? Is it the logical one of the best players has got to be in New York, or everybody struggles and they've got money and they're willing to do all this? The problem is, I don't know they got any players to trade them. Who do they? I mean, there's nobody. If I'm them, there's nobody I want.
I'm telling you right now, it's an ideal format. If there's anything on the basis of trades, that would be the best trade for both sides, without offending anyone. Everyone would be happy. Any Anaheim fan that loves Trout, guess what? You're still going to see Trout.
I just don't think it answers. I think all it does is answer one question and opens up other questions if that's your best move. I mean, honestly, he's got to go to a team, in my opinion. He's got to go to like a Toronto, or he's got to go to like a team that's on the verge or on the cusp.
Toronto? Are you kidding me?
Because they have players they could trade.
They already got 9 runs a game.
Well, I understand that.
Why do they need 10?
Because I just don't know how you're going to give up Trout and not get back pitching and offense. I think they can go out and make a trade and get a young starter and offense.
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out, because I'm not buying that. I think the way the Angels are moving right now, I think that whole Americana type of a kid is going to be traded. I could see that happening.
So if that's the case, then obviously Harper's going to come up here in free agency. I mean, what are these? That's another thing you got to take into consideration: the amount of money. What's Harper worth? And is that and will that be?
You're not trading Harper.
Okay, you may
not
be.
You will not trade Harper.
Okay, you may not trade him, but again, we're back to money. How much is that guy worth?
I say he's $300 million.
Oh God, he's talking like he wants $500 million.
$500 million.
Can you imagine?
What the hell is happening?
Well, and here's the thing at the end of the day.
How can anyone stay close here if you're a small market team?
Well, small market. Define small market. Even St. Louis gets defined that way all the time, but they're getting ready to sign a mega deal for TV money, and that's where
they have to. And you know what? I hate when the fans of St. Louis go, I'm not paying that type of money. Hey, listen, folks, you're not paying anything.
Well, we are.
You're not paying anything.
We are.
You're already paying for overpriced beer in St. Louis.
And that's how we're paying for it. So
you're already paying.
That's right. So whenever this stuff goes, their bottom line is going to stay the same, and we're going to pick up the tab with more beer, more.
Yes.
That's right.
Hey, we don't want Albert Pujols for that money. Okay. Well, he's gone. He's gone. What do you got at first base?
Now here's my other problem. Look at these guys too. They signed this Mike Leake to almost $100 million. And he's mediocre.
He was mediocre for us.
Now, they wanted David Price, and they did obviously make a great offer to him. But at the end of the day, Price took another $20 or $30 million to go to Boston. I've always said this. If you really wanted Price over that many years, why would you just not give him that money? That way you know what you get. And I know he struggled with a couple starts early, but we all know. Here he comes. He kind of figured it out last start. Here he comes. I want the for sure guy, even if it costs me more money.
You know what? When Price steps on the mound, he deserves respect. The guy's respect. I mean, he's earned it. He could have a couple crappy type of outings. It doesn't matter. He's no Lackey. And Lackey's shining right now. This guy knows how to work it. Well, Look at him today.
He's a competitor.
Against Washington. He knew the Cubs were a winning organization. This is their year, and Lackey just jumped on board. He cared less about what St. Louis people said.
Well, he's a competitor. Hey, speaking of guys that demand respect, I see making his way into our studios is our man and our resident expert, Coop. Let's get him in here.
Bring him that question.
I am going to bring in that question. Coop, get them headphones on there.
I got them on. How you
all
doing,
right,
fellas?
Hey, welcome to the show this week.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank you for I acknowledged our good friend and fan of the show, Bill Clark, for contacting us, and I want to thank you for sharing the league information with him. He was real excited about that, and I just kind of encouraged anybody else out there, make sure we have a new email, so we're official now. We're info@bleacherbumspodcast.com.
Beautiful. Shoot us a note, anything we can do on the fantasy side to help out, show you the rules. We feel like we've got a pretty good fantasy league going.
So it's good, even though I'm getting spanked right now, for sure. But, hey, got a question for you before we touch on fantasy.
Uh-huh.
Interesting article today brought forth by a writer through ESPN. I'm sure part of your fantasy stuff, Garrett Richards, is obviously out now for the year, and this gentleman has proposed that it's time to trade Mike Trout. And I'm sure there's other things in play. Their minor league system's not very good. They're underperforming. I proposed a question to my comrade here. What do you get for a Mike Trout if you do trade him? What's fair? Jono here believes that like a Kershaw for Trout straight up's a great trade for both teams. I don't know about that. I'm kind of, I think you open up more holes by doing it either way, but it's flashy. I get it. You got big names changing place, but I don't know if it helps anybody.
I don't know why the Dodgers would do that. That'd leave them. I mean, obviously with the loss of Greinke in the offseason, then you ditch Trout, then you ditch Kershaw. That puts them in a hole pitching-wise. I think what Anaheim needs is sort of a makeover kind of trade. If I was Anaheim right now,
yeah, you're the GM. What do you do?
I would call Theo Epstein at the Chicago Cubs, and I'd say, Theo, you got one of the deepest systems out there. You've got guys that play multiple positions. I want a 4-5-6-for-1 that's going to make me better. Like I would go out if I was Theo Epstein. I would say, trade me Schwarber, Baez, Dexter Fowler, Pedro Strop, and one of your starters, Hamill or Hendricks, and send me Mike Trout. Because what you do, if the good thing for Theo Epstein is he looks at it and goes, really, I lose one starter there as a starting pitcher. I lose a bunch of backups in the field, right? I'm able then to put Trout immediately in the outfield. My outfield becomes Jorge Soler, Trout, and Jason Hayward, one of the best defensive outfielders, defensive outfields out there, one of the best offensive outfields out there from an overall production standpoint. And then you also get, from Trout's standpoint, he's looking at it going, are you shitting me? I get to hit, getting protected by Rizzo, Bryant, all these guys up and down the lineup. And I don't think it hurts the Cubs hardly at all. And then you put, you do a 1-2 punch of Rizzo and Trout at Wrigley Field. I mean, it's amazing on top of the fact that it's a big market team, the Cubs are, and they'd be able to monetize the jersey sales and everything else, unlike maybe some smaller market teams who could do it.
And they've got money. I mean, they can spend it.
Spend as much as they want. And by the way, keep in mind, they're not looking to be a generational power here. They're like the Boston Red Sox 10 years ago. They have one thing in mind, one thing.
Oh.
Win one World Series.
Can you imagine?
So who's throwing the towel in there, though? Yeah, the Dodgers? Do you think the Dodger fans would the Anaheim fans would throw in the towel like that? Because what you're saying now is basically we're setting up for the future.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, are those sexy enough players? I mean, you said Baez.
Javi Baez? Yeah, Kyle Schwarber?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, people also sleep a little bit on Dexter Fowler. I mean, here's a guy who's
a good player.
He's a good player. He's relatively young, great defensively, all these things. You know, he's a guy that can, I mean, he can bring it.
He's only signed for 1 year, right?
Pedro Strop, yeah, correct. I mean, you're going to want to re-sign him, obviously. Pedro Strop, one of the best young arms out of a bullpen in the major leagues. He's been a superstar for the Cubs this year. Then you get a back-end starter like a Hamill or one of those guys. And you're, I mean.
So you're laying it for this season then?
They're done either way. Here's the thing.
No, I'm talking about the Cubs. They're making it for one season run. This is our championship run.
Well, I don't even know if it's one season, but it's sure as hell this year. I mean, they're going for it this year, and they should. I take back. You know, I was wrong about the Cubs. I said in the early days I didn't think the Cubs would win this division. And while I still think Pittsburgh is a great team, the Cardinals have proven to not be, you know, their little tinkering moves that have worked in the past have not worked this year.
No.
They're not very good. I expect them actually now to be a sub-500 team over the course of the year.
Right.
And the Cubs are the real deal. They're the best team in the major leagues. They're showing it game in and game out. From a fantasy standpoint, by the way, one of the things that I would say, and I've been personally affected by this in my team this week. I had two starts.
Right now.
Well, I had two starts against the Cubs this week. I had Garrett Cole on Monday. He got shelled. I got Max Scherzer on the TV right behind us right now getting absolutely destroyed. I mean, you know, he looks like Poland when the Germans came through.
Yeah,
like it
blitzkrieg
is,
here, baby.
There's just nothing you can do. None of my starters, like
he's
for
out,
example,
by the way.
Well, for example, this coming week I've got Garrett Cole again going back against the Cubs. I put him on my bench because I refuse to put my starting pitchers in my lineup if they're going to be facing the Cubs.
So that's something to look at then.
No doubt about it.
From this point on, if your pitcher's going against the Cubs.
Put them on the bench.
Bench them.
There's no doubt. They're just too good right
Circle
now.
Circle the wagons,
now,
boys.
Now, by the way, will they all come back to earth? Of course they will because they're all hitting and they're all going crazy. This won't last all season, but it will be something like this all year. These guys, barring a bunch of injuries or a bunch of regression, they're just going to keep doing it.
I mean, Coop, they're all hitting.
Up and down
this lineup. They're all hit. This is like one of those Atari games.
That was David Ross.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like his fifth hit in the last 9 years. But he just keeps doing it in this lineup.
All this week.
Yeah, exactly. In this lineup, though, he just keeps churning. He just keeps doing it. It's really impressive.
He's flexing and everything. It's like a whole – it's like the movie Cocoon.
Yeah, exactly. It's happening for sure. So, well, let's get to you know, obviously everybody wants to hear your start, sit, and sleep segment this week. And we'll just – and again, we'll touch on a couple of the things you had from last week. You know, you called out Stanton and said it was time, and he did. Boy, you know, 333, 41 OBP, 3 home runs, 6 runs. You know, what you'd
and
expect.
That's in 5 days.
Yeah, what you would expect on an average week from him. You know, one of your sits was D. Gordon. Well, that was an obvious. Yep. And we discussed D. Gordon a little bit on here.
And he also brought up, offended me at the time, with Hamilton. As soon as he said that, with the wizard here.
The wizard.
The guy's got a red cross behind his name.
Hey.
He hasn't played a damn game.
Would you
he
rather
played
have
two
him?
Nights and did good, and I said, you know, I'm going to prove him wrong next show, and then he's gone.
That's right. One of his sleepers was Martin Prado, which was a great call, obviously, because of the D. Gordon. All this guy does is hit. The power numbers really aren't there right now, but his OBP, he plays good D, does all this, so he's been a great player. And Stephen Wright, of course, like we even noted when you and I were actually doing some research today, how much has the percentage went up of teams that have owned this guy? I mean, he has done really well, and now it's almost where everybody, every league, he's become a starter. So he didn't get the win last week. But he still kept his ERA at 3, so it was just a game where his club didn't really give him the support he needed. But so for the most part, not too bad.
Oh, thanks.
Doing all right. So let's get to brass tacks and find out what you got for us this week.
You got it. So I got a couple of pitchers that you definitely have to start. Neither one of these guys are gonna be a surprise. But given that this year is starting to become, you know, a deal where you try to avoid the Cubs, you try to avoid the Nationals if you can. There's a few teams you try to stay away from, and then, you know, it's a league of have and have nots, and there's a bunch of teams then that you really want to start against. There's two high-end pitchers that have fantastic matchups this coming week. The first is Jose Fernandez. Jose Fernandez plays against Milwaukee and then against Washington, but he's facing Tanner Roark. So he's got two good starts. And Felix Hernandez plays faces off against Drew Smyly in Tampa Bay, Anaheim Angels, L.A. Angels, and Hector Santiago. So if you got King Felix, who has been a little erratic throughout the season,
I can't trust him. I don't know what it is.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the question: outside of Jake Arrieta right now, who can you trust? Every single pitcher. We've just seen Max Scherzer get destroyed today. Gerrit Cole got destroyed earlier. Sonny Gray keeps getting beat up. Jose Fernandez is up and down here and there. Felix Hernandez getting the hell beat out of him. Kershaw,
Sonny Gray,
David Price,
Clayton Kershaw. I mean, you know the list of starters who have been erratic at best and awful at worst is really, really long this year.
Good point. Your guy down in Texas is getting rocked too.
They're all getting rocked.
Cole Hamill.
All of them. I mean, honestly, outside of Arrieta, there's only been one guy who you can just count on week in, week out to really get it done. I mean, even Steve Matz, who I love from the Mets, or Syndergaard, these guys have had really, really good starts, and then they just get destroyed by somebody. So it is definitely not a great year for pitching. So those two guys are guys I would start. And then on the player side, again, this is no surprise, but Nolan Arenado from Colorado's home all week. He's currently hitting .309. He's got 12 home runs, first in the bigs, 28 RBIs, second in the bigs, and 26 runs, third in the bigs. So he's a guy that's hitting on all cylinders right now, actually getting hotter and only hitting .309. So as his average goes up, which I expect it to inch up over the course of the season, he's just going to keep getting better and better.
Coop, I got to ask you this. Has the hitting gone up or has the pitching went down? I mean, you're seeing old-time Colorado baseball, 17 runs. That's when you had the old big bats in Chicago, or Colorado. I mean, the numbers they're putting up now are outstanding numbers. These hitters, I just wonder for batting average, what the batting average now is compared to the last couple of years.
Yeah, I don't have those numbers, but boy, it sure seems like we've had an excess of offense.
So do you blame the pitching, or do you compliment the hitting?
We got a lot of guys throwing 100.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys are throwing harder, and it's funny. I say to my kids all the time, these guys are completely unfazed by a guy that gets in there and throws 95. It's just unbelievable to me how it's like, okay,
hell,
let's go.
95 must look like a changeup to some of these guys.
I mean, it's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Which tells you, and I know your guy's coming back here soon, doesn't that tell you how dominant Aroldis Chapman is?
Oh.
I mean, they're just overmatched when he's on the mound. I mean, it's crazy. But, hey, how about our fantasy wizard over here? He just traded for this Nolan Arenado, too. Isn't that amazing how he got this guy?
It's amazing. It's amazing. What do you suggest, though? Do you suggest fantasy teams to pick up more hitting teams now and back off the pitching?
There's not really much you can do. You got to start pitchers. I think what you do is you try to get the best pitcher you can get with the best underlying skills. You put on your flak jacket and you sit there and hope to God that you don't take a headshot.
I mean, what's the value now?
It's hard to say. I think it's league to league, right? Every league has different rules. In our league, where you've got holds in addition to saves and starts, I mean, it's certainly worth it to start minimizing some of these starting pitchers and going for more holds and saves. But at the same time, I'm not sure the stats are that much different. I mean, on my team, I got one of the best middle. In fact, last year and the year before, the best middle relief guy in the league was Ken Giles. There's an argument that it was Dellin Betances too, but they were certainly one and two. And Ken Giles this year.
Yeah, Wade Davis too.
Yeah, but he's a closer. But if you're looking at middle relief guys that get holds, there historically has been almost nobody better, maybe Betances, but Ken Giles has certainly been one of the top guys out there. He's got a 7.91 ERA, and he's pitched 14, 15, 16 innings. It's not like he's pitched three,
right,
and it's a small sample size. He's getting his ass beat every time he goes out there. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I know what it is. Play me. Because every time I play somebody in this league, they have some no-name starter that goes seven innings and doesn't give up a run. That's
now
what
you,
it is.
You
me.
Mentioned Arrieta, but what about Kershaw? I mean,
he's had three awful outings and five brilliant outings.
Right, right.
Or four brilliant
outings. I don't know then. At a fantasy point, though, I don't know what to value.
Well,
your
guy's been great, Chris Sale.
He's been excellent. He's been lights out. I love Sale. But you know what? Arrieta and Sale, that to me, that's got to be Well, I don't see too much out there.
And Sales, the guy, everybody's been just waiting to fall apart, and all this guy does is win and pitch well. So
that's exactly right.
Who you got for the sit this week?
To sit this
my
week?
My team?
Yep.
Vandalay?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think obviously you're going to want to sit Garrett Richards, right? Just we just learned that he's going to have Tommy John, so he's going to be gone. The pitcher that I would sit would be Annabelle Sanchez from Baltimore. He's facing Steven Strasburg from Washington this week, and he's also facing Baltimore. So he's
Detroit. You said Detroit. Oh, you said Baltimore.
He's facing Baltimore.
Yeah, Annabelle, he's from Detroit, though.
Annabelle Sanchez is from Detroit, right? Did I say he's from Baltimore? Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Annabelle Sanchez from Detroit. He's facing Baltimore late in the week, and he's facing Strasburg early in the week. He's a guy that I think I would sit for sure.
Oh, he's
sit. And then the hitter that I would sit is a guy that I actually thought might turn into something, Enrique Hernandez from the Dodgers, the outfielder. Here's a guy whose average is sinking. His playing time is he's now in a platoon situation. He's got no power, no speed. You know, he's one of those guys that flashed some potential underlying skills at the minor league level that just can't get it to translate now. And he's got an extended number of at bats in the bigs, and he just can't quite get it there. So I know his numbers had crept up in terms of his percentage of rostering for all these fantasy leagues, but he's a guy that I think is going to start sinking quick. He's just not getting the playing time, and when he does, he's not producing.
Do you ever see Jock Peterson blooming into that all-around guy, or is he just going to be one of these 220 hitters that hits 30 home runs?
No, I don't – look, he's never going to be a 300 hitter, or doesn't look like it anyway. But I think he's a guy that can hit 250, 255, and you're right. I think if he does that, he'll hit 30 home runs. The real problem is it's really hard in this league to hit 220 and hit 30 home runs. You just don't see enough. You know, they'll just junk you, knowing you're gonna swing at a lot of stuff. And so, but if he can get his average up, which I think he can, he's got really, really good underlying skills, obviously, across the board athletic skills. The question is, can he get his average high enough?
Every time I see him, I think of John Jay. I don't know why. that's the kind of player I see because 1 year he just goes offense, and then next year I don't see anything. Very inconsistent.
I can tell you that Jock Peterson is not happy about that comparison.
No.
I assure you.
No, I don't think so.
Particularly for a guy who was compared to Mike Trout for a little while. Yeah, right? When the scouts tried to go from Mike Trout to John Jay.
Jay's going to hit that many home runs in his career as he's going to hit in a year. But that's not bad. What about our sleepers?
Sleepers this week. If I had to go with an offensive sleeper, I'd take Derek Dietrich. He's a guy that's got really good average. Eligible at multiple positions. He's another guy that's benefited from D. Gordon and his suspension. Here's an infielder, and he's shortstop, second, third. He's kind of bouncing around as they're trying to, he's trying to get in the lineup along with Martin Prado and get some extra at bats with D. Gordon being out. But here's a guy that looks like he might hit 15 to 20 home runs in this thing, and he's got a really good average. So, you know, if you can stick with him between now and when D. Gordon comes back, I think there's going to be a race on for then who takes that the shortstop spot and who goes back to third and you know how they shuffle that in there. And I think there's a fairly good chance that Dietrich sticks once Gordon gets back. And if he does, I think he's a really good shot to hit 15 at least home runs.
Who's your pitcher?
My pitcher would be Ruby De La Rosa.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Now here's a guy who has been the nicest thing you can say about him over the last 3 or 4 years is that he's been erratic. He's still going to be erratic on the ERA thing. But like we talked about, the best pitchers in our league this year are erratic. Here's why I like Ruby De La Rosa. Right now he's got a 32-10 strikeout to walk ratio.
That is good.
It's really good. It's among the best in the league. So he's still going to give up some hits. He's not going to walk a lot of guys, and he's a significant source of strikeouts. So if all the rest of these guys are going to get shelled, if Max Scherzer is going to go out and do what he did today, and all these guys except for Chris Sale and Jake Arrieta are going to get blown up, this guy's going to be pretty damn cheap. He's probably a free agent in your league. You might as well go pick up him as opposed to having David Price or Scherzer or a lot of these other really high-priced guys. You can trade some of those guys, get real value, go out and get a Ruby De La Rosa, and while your ERA isn't going to love you for it, your strikeout total will.
I dropped him like a week ago. See how that works?
Yeah.
What's your call on Gio Gonzalez? He's still been solid, a little bit better than Blue Collar. He's doing a real good job.
Do you
see it continuing?
He's a fantastic guy. You know, he's one of those rare guys that that is fantastic. He plays the same role in real life as he does in fantasy baseball. He's one of those number two on a really good team, potentially number three starters that just eats innings, churns innings, goes out, gives you a chance to win every time he goes out, and he does the same thing in fantasy. He's never going to have, you know, the Katie bar the door kind of stats, but he's also never going to, or rarely going to kill you in a week in the weekly head-to-head leagues. I like him a lot.
Good.
I got a question for you. Mm-hmm. Who's the best player in the league?
Best player in the league right now.
How could he answer that? Offense or defense?
No, but I want the best. Like, if you're who best player in the league?
Best player in the league is Jake Arrieta.
Wow. I was wondering if that's where you were going to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's got to be. He dominates more for his position than anybody else.
He just faced those batters.
He is fantastic. You know, you also really got to look at, and this is not going to be a shock to anybody, but you got to look at Bryce Harper. You know, he's becoming Mike Trout. He's got 5 stolen bases on top of everything
else.
Yeah,
but I single-handedly jinxed him last week and no home runs.
Yeah.
I put the kibosh on him.
You do that with every
team. I know. Isn't it amazing?
Everybody, every team.
But we were talking about – that's why I asked. We were talking about how he had kind of taken that from Trout, and then in the last about 10 days, Trout said, hang on, not so fast.
Yeah, but Trout's still not running. This is the thing. Mike Trout might – you know, if he's not careful, he's going to turn into Jose Abreu, right, where he's going to go out and hit a bunch of home runs and have a good average, but he's not going to do a whole lot else. And particularly on that Angels team, he's not going to generate a ton of RBIs. I mean, he will because he generates a lot of home runs and he's got a fairly good average. But it's not like you're going to be on, you know, where on a Washington, Bryce Harper can just churn it out because he's got guys that are getting on in front of him, Daniel Murphy and the rest of these guys, and he's just knocking them in and knocking them in and knocking them in. It's just not happening for Trout. And so for a guy who's not running, his value, in my opinion, is declining significantly from a fantasy standpoint. Now, mind you, it's declining from number one overall player to number 20 overall player. It's not like he's terrible.
20.
But he is. I mean, if you look at it right now, his average. Although it's rising because he's getting better and better and better. But he's still not, you know, right with the league leaders in home runs. He's got 1 stolen base. He's not running at all. It's just, you know, for a guy who's 26 years old, that's real warning signs, right? They're like, that's not a great trend at that young an age.
Wow. 20.
What are we into? What are we into? About a month and a half of this?
We're almost 30 games.
30 games. You're seeing guys right now with 10, 11, 12 home runs. Is there a chance that the steroid-free from this era, can we see that record being broke? Can we see McGuire Sosa?
Are we steroid free? I don't know that we are.
D. Gordon proved that we're not.
Fellas, they're not going to risk. They're not going to risk.
But they are.
They all are.
They are risking.
I think that's just minute of what's going on out there. I think these guys are really maybe the strike zone. Well, I don't know what's going on, but they're cranking these home runs out now.
Is it the ball?
Have they done
something to the ball?
No, there's no way.
Why not? It's a business. We love offense. Why not? Numbers were down, right?
Yeah.
Got to figure out a way to get offense.
That's interesting.
Where are you going to put this Rizzo guy? Is he? I mean, if you're going to take Trout down from 1 to 20, Rizzo's got to be taking.
How many home runs does he have? I think he's got 10 or 11.
He's a player.
I think he's second to Arenado.
Wow.
In home runs. No. I mean, Rizzo, I think right now, statistically, is second to Arenado in home runs. No, I think Rizzo's certainly a top 15 player. I don't think there's any question about it. But again, he doesn't run, right? That's where a guy like Bryce Harper is special. That's where a guy like Arenado, actually, who will run a little bit, ups his value. And then you got to look for sneaky steals, right? It's where a guy like JT Realmuto, the catcher for Miami, is really, really sneaky. He's got 2 stolen bases and been caught stealing 3 times. They're going to run him.
Yeah.
He's as a catcher, it looks like he's going to get 10, 12, 15 stolen bases. Where else are you going to get that in a category, right? Like in that position. It's I think when you look at these things, you got to look at sneaky ways to get up on it. And so for my team, I had D. Gordon. He leaves, I lose 50 something stolen bases, and because we have a weekly league, I really lose the ability to sort of count on stolen bases on a week-to-week basis. So then what I had to do is I got to go out and try to pick up guys like Jonathan Villar who will steal bases or, you know, whoever it might be and hope to God that, you know, on my team, the Mookie Betts's and the Starling Martes
will hold up their end of the bargain.
Exactly. We'll pick up a stolen base or two because I can't count on it anymore, right? Which is where Billy Hamilton can change your team if he can actually get on first base.
That sounded like an overture. Like maybe he wanted to broach the topic.
I mean, what he's saying, though, is true. He's got to get on first. No one gives you first.
No. What I mean is that sounded like the first sentence in a conversation about a possible trade between you guys.
No, as long as there's a red cross in front of you and behind your name, it's hard to trade those things.
This guy's a wheeler and dealer. I know he is.
Yeah, I know. What's happening here, man?
I mean, this is turning into a circus. I didn't know the circus was in town.
No kidding.
Good stuff as always, Coop. We really appreciate it. It's a fun segment.
I was talking to him about this. Why would you retire if you're Ortiz? I mean, you're doing everything. Can the guy say, you know what, here's the contract back. I think I'm going to take a couple more years.
No, of course he could, but I think there's always something to retiring before you really, really decline, right? Like, why do you always—
Is that what it's about?
I think so. I think he's probably tired, too. I mean, at the end of the day, we idolize these guys. We see this. That's a hard life. It's a hard life. For 9 months of the year, you don't get to do anything but that. You travel around. I know. Look, they travel.
What's
private.
What's wrong with that?
No, I agree. but what if you want to go watch your kids' baseball games? What if you want to go do some other things? And you've already made more money than you ever thought you would get. The easiest thing in the world is be like, yeah, I'm done with this shit. Particularly if you don't have to quit and you can go out on top. Why not?
See, I always pictured if you're gonna go, you might as well go when you're on the decline.
Yeah.
I mean,
go down on the bottom. That's how you want to roll, huh?
Yeah, go when you're not doing anything anymore. Go when they boo you.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah, well.
Man,
that's what you're doing.
All right, well.
All right, boys, thank you. Appreciate
it. Stuff. Hey. No,
very, very good.
Appreciate you, as always, having on. Good stuff.
No worries.
Well, there you go, Jono. That's our man telling us. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm about tired of how all these good players are his guys, and every time it's a sit guy or something, it's my guy.
No, you know what? He's been going through some frustration, too. I know that.
He has?
You know what he bet me?
What's that?
This guy bet me there's two divisions, and he said just because his division's really good, they got the nice—
Well, I know it's really good. I'm taking a beating from it.
Well, time out. He says to me, yeah, you're just in that weaker division, and that's why you're on top. Okay, whatever.
Okay.
But now he says, I don't think you could do anything in my division. So I said, you know what? I play your division. I play your entire division. How about I bet you? I didn't say how much. I'm not going to tell you guys how much we bet.
We don't want the authorities
to find out. I'm saying to you right now, he said that you will not win 5 out of the 8 games that you play in your division.
When you play us.
I play in your division. Okay. There's not going to be 5 wins on your division.
So he thinks you're a 500 team in our division.
He says,
basically.
I'm best 500 in your division.
When did he make this bet with you?
Yesterday.
Man, after seeing my team, I can't believe he's counting on me for a win.
He's justified you. He's saying that you're having a good week, but you just get got some bad luck following you.
Let me tell you, I'm telling you, I am that team that everybody gets healthy against, that everybody gets happy against, and I'm going to be a firm donator is what I'm going to be to this thing. I can see it already. I am for sure getting schooled in my first year here in this league. But that's okay because I'm having a blast and I'm enjoying watching all the games. And I tell you, I'm seeing so much go on in the game of baseball outside, obviously, of St. Louis, which up until now I've been pretty focused in on. But I agree with you, man. These guys are knocking the cover off the ball around baseball. And it's—
I don't know if it's a strike zone or whatever. What?
Do you remember at the beginning I told you that this strike zone is shrinking?
It shrank a lot because I'm going, oh, that's a strike. And then he just turns away. And that pitcher's like, where the hell was that? Yeah. Where the hell was that I just threw?
You know, and what's amazing to me, too, is that some of these hitters, man, if they miss a pitch, these hitters are going crazy. And I'm sitting there going, man, you guys need to relax right now, man. They are squeezing these pitchers. But I don't know. I know it's big business. I know it's money. I know they want offense. So, you know, I'm with you. Something is going on. And let's face it, a 98 mile an hour fastball, and these guys are just turning it around like nothing.
So, right, right, right,
good
right.
Stuff. Hey, lots of fun this week. As
lots
usual.
Of fun. And hey, folks, if you get a little tired of talking or hearing us talk about baseball, or you're just in tune for something else as well, they can go to Lineup Media Group. They got all sorts of shows on there.
LineupMediaGroup.com. All types of different entertainment. We got the Ocho Man behind the eight ball. If you like any type of interesting entertainment that talks about anything from politics to what's going on in the world, of anything from sports to just anything happening in the world.
How about
of course,
Let's Get It On?
Let's Get It On. Yep.
Let's
with
get
Sean
it on.
Waylock and Big John, they're out there doing their thing. Obviously, the MMA world is so captivating.
Behind the scenes
on
what's going on in UFC, MMA fighting, Big John McCarthy, Sean Wheelock, these guys are great, and they bring it to the show, man. It's a great show.
And, of course, we're in that run here now where everybody's challenging for the Stanley Cup. We're into the second round. We're getting deeper.
Isn't playoffs great?
Man, I'll tell you what, playoff hockey is something.
I don't even normally watch hockey during the season. NHL playoff time comes, you see the beards, you just see the grunt of the whole sport pop up.
And nobody does it better than our good friends Kelly Chase and Darren Pang. Try to remember, I know that these guys are doing play-by-play and doing analysis for the St. Louis Blues, but when they're not working for the Blues, the NHL brings these guys in, and they do great analytical type work for them, and they break it down and give you some of that behind the scenes.
LineupMediaGroup.com, you got all sorts of shows. You can kick back with your gal on a long drive. There's shows about women getting together. It's just beautiful.
Our
beautiful.
New girls, old school will be starting soon. Great stuff. And of course, we're asking for your help too with Bleacher Bums. Go to our website, bleacherbumspodcast.com. We know all you guys out there are shopping on Amazon. All we're asking you to do is go to our website, bleacherbumspodcast.com. Click on the Amazon link there on the right, about midway down. Do your shopping through there. We get a little bit of a referral back. Doesn't cost you anything else. Helps us keep the show on the air. We'd really appreciate it. We know you guys
on
love
your
the
phone,
show.
On your cell phone, you scroll all the way to the bottom. When you scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see our show right or Amazon right
yep.
there. So
that helps us a lot. But, hey, we really do appreciate you guys. And, of course, for our subscribers, please share the show around if you guys like it.
Oh, one more thing, Jimbo.
Yeah, what you got?
One more thing. Hey, if you're on iTunes also, why not give us a nice review? Can't go wrong with a nice review.
I'd love a nice review.
Everyone needs a nice review.
Absolutely. Crack open a nice cold frosty Bud Light. Give us a good review. We'd love it here on the Bleacher Bums.
You could say Jono's right all the time and these other two guys are wrong.
Clowns.
With five stars behind
Clowns
it.
To the left of me, jokers to my right.
Yep.
All right. That'll do it for this week's edition of Bleacher Bums. Jono, great stuff as always.
Oh, man. It's good. Have a great weekend, Jim.
Yep. Take care.
All right.